Yeah. All right. Welcome. It's Tuesday, July 25, 2023. It's 7 p.m. and I call the Wrangell Assembly to order. Pledge of Allegiance tonight will be led by Assembly Member Powell.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. There are no ceremonial matters tonight, so we will go to roll call, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Robbins.
Present.
Ryan Howe. Dalrymple.
Here.
Powell.
Here.
DeBoer.
Here.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Here. Persons to be heard. All right, no.
And I didn't say Morrison's name, but she's absent.
She's absent, yes. Anyone in the audience wish to speak on any item? All right, seeing none. Amendments to the agenda. Any assembly member have any amendments? Hearing none. Conflict of interest. Does any assembly member have any conflict? Okay, I am declaring a conflict on the executive session item. I have an affiliation with the entity that will be discussed during that session, so I will turn over the gavel to Vice Mayor Powell and exit the building. All right.
Oh, wait a minute.
Conflict of interest.
I understand that, but I got to ask you, do you have a direct... financial gain from that conflict or anything?
No, I don't, but...
You sit on their board of...
No, I don't sit on their board, but I just think it would be cleaner. I don't have any financial interests, but... and I'm not on the council. Do you think I should participate?
I would say you don't have a conflict.
I can name the entity because there's identification.
Yeah.
It's the First Presbyterian Church. I attend services there, but I'm not on the council.
I don't declare you have a conflict.
You mean you're not on the council for the church?
Right.
For finances.
I just thought it would be cleaner if I bowed
out.
So
I do not see you have a conflict.
All right. Is that the...
Yeah, if you're not on their board.
Okay. I'll stay then for executive session. Thank you. Consent agenda. I need a motion.
Move to approve the consent agenda as submitted.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Any discussion? Hearing none, poll vote please.
Yes. Assembly Members Robbins?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. We come to the manager's report.
Madam Mayor, so a couple things to report today. I did get an email from the Forest Service, and it looks like they're looking at doing an NN fee schedule increase, and it can be found on their website as far as what that is. I think it goes from $10 to $50.
Yeah.
So if anyone's interested, please go on their website and make comments. I think it's through September is the comment period, but I'm not positive on that. I would like to look at maybe doing a August 28th meeting with the school board to discuss a work session with the school board to discuss just financial activities and just the future of the school and our facilities and their facilities and how we kind of move forward.
Okay, and our financial situation for
right.
supporting the schools. Okay.
Right. That works.
No.
Assembly Member Powell.
Are we going to have anything before that we can read up what you're thinking and all that stuff?
We can definitely put a packet together at the, okay. I think we have the August 25th meeting.
Yeah, it might be beneficial to maybe in your manager's report to outline your ideas.
Okay.
So that the public's informed as well as the school board.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good.
I can do that.
All right.
All right. As I kind of mentioned in the work session, a survey topo is complete for the Wrangell Industrial Park subdivision and work on starting completion of that design. We still need the Army Corps permit for the roadway that was not included in the original request. We need to start the process for a new monofill site and the required permitting, so we'll start working on that. The goal is to start this process over the next month, but the current monofill site is pretty full. It should have been probably started about 5 years ago, this process, so hopefully it won't take a long time to get this done. But
And for the public, tell them the location.
It's not the current monofill site's by the gun range.
Okay.
EDA will be approving the additional $2 million in grant funding for the water treatment plant. So that was great news. And I should have led with that, Madam Mayor. I should have started with that. But
yeah,
additional $2 million from EDA in grant funding for the water treatment. So
off the top of your head, how much grant money is going to the water treatment plant? Do you remember?
I think that's right at around $18
million. $18 million.
And grant money. So in the Harbor Master report, we did meet with PND for the Myers Chuck Harbor project. I just want to say, you know, Steve did a great job of kind of doing some research on the materials that PND had for their docks and came up with some alternatives. We met with some folks at Well Pass on what it cost them for theirs. And so they're going to come back, and hopefully I think it could save us some significant money for the current design and how it's going to be done with HDPE instead of the piling or the design that that PND had. So look forward to seeing that and see what the numbers are going to be.
And for the public, wasn't that a little over $2 million? And we right. were contributing from the Harbor Fund $1 million.
Correct.
Yeah, so any yeah. savings would be welcomed.
Yeah. I did have a meeting with AML to discuss the barge ramp issues. I'm still trying to meet with Samson as well. But we do need to look at alternatives for the existing barge ramp. The loading ramp has exceeded its current capacity. So we need to look at the future and what we do with that. But it definitely has concerns for me as far as moving forward and the existing loading that we're putting on the barge ramp. So we'll continue those talks and continue moving forward with it. I did want to say congratulations to the water treatment department and Wayne and Tom and the rest of the staff there, Andrew and Brian. They got the Water System Excellence Award, URSA Minor, and what that means is they maintain 4 quarters of operating certificate compliance and have no more than 1 open, unresolved, or incurred drinking water violation during the award year, or maintains 3 quarters of operator certification compliance and have no open, unresolved, or incurred drinking water violation. So just congratulations to those guys for getting that. A lot of hard work, especially given the condition of our existing plant. A lot of work that went into that to be able to maintain good drinking water. So
well, they not only did that, but they fixed the ozone generation system.
Yeah, they and completely rebuilt that system. And
completely rebuilt it sounds like.
Right.
And then took this old parts and reconfigured those so they could probably be used again. So
yep.
They're,
so, yeah, Wayne and Andrew did a great job on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to, for the streets department, I just want to say, I can't remember the last we met, but the 4th of July, just the follow-up afterwards and the day afterwards, I mean, the amount of work that kind of went into that between them and Parks, and I'll kind of mention Parks and Rec as I go through there as well, but just a great job to the staff of, and just I would say the community as well. Everyone was out, all the businesses, getting everything cleaned up the following day, so a big thank you to the community for working with our staff to get everything cleaned up and just the preparation beforehand to be ready for it. Road maintenance and brushing continue to be done in between bigger projects, and working on Tom and his staff are working on plans for a few big projects to complete this season, including utility installation for businesses and concrete work on roads and sidewalks now that we finally have some concrete available. So looking forward to kind of seeing that going on. The reservoir, It's had a dry couple of weeks. So the upper reservoir, I think we're 4 feet down, or on the lower reservoir, 4 feet down the lower reservoir. The upper reservoir is full, but no longer spilling. So they have started siphoning. So we may start just putting out a notice. You shouldn't do it, but just where you can conserve water, where you can. But you know, right now we're still good. But looking at the forecast as well, luckily we had some pretty heavy downpours over the weekend that definitely helped us out. But we're definitely keeping an eye on it and seeing where we're at. I think we're going to be okay, but we definitely probably need some rain within the next couple of weeks. So.
And how would we alert the public?
I'm going to do the notice tomorrow.
Okay. And that'll be on our
Facebook page, and I'll share it to Community Board, KSDK. Actually, KSDK and the newspaper will have it tonight. And then, our website, Facebook, and share it to Community Board. And we'll post it here and at the post office.
And it's just voluntary right now. Just kind of keeping an eye out and watching where it's at.
But Tom did a really good job showing like tips, you know, different things you can do.
Yeah, Jeffrey Davidson has been offered and he's accepted the position for wastewater treatment operator lead. So fantastic hire for this position, and we're excited to have him in the new role. The sanitation, they found a new product that has been purchased to better handle latex paints. So new product will allow us to solidify latex paints more quickly, so that can go out as a solid waste and won't have to be handled as a hazway. So thanks to Tom and his crew for finding that as well. And then the water treatment plant operator lead, that has gone out publicly for looking to hire that position. And then we do have we had a water wastewater operator position we were looking at, but we did internally for that, and then I think we're going to drop that down to not an operator, but yeah, an apprentice position. So see if we can get some more interest in that. I think with Jeffrey moving into that position, that'll suit us well. Notice to proceed was given to Chatham Electric and the Harbor Department for security camera project. A substantial completion date for that will be March 14th of 24.
Oh, okay.
And then productive meetings, like I said, with P&D on Chuck Myers, and then he had a meeting with P&D on the anode project, so looks like the design should be complete and ready to put out the bid in early August for the anode project in the harbors. And then it's great to see Trident Seafoods up and running. It's good to have them back for sure. And then with that, the Marine Service Center is full and flush with vans for the fish processing. So definitely any extra room we have over there, it's taken by the extra vans, but it's great to see them there and operating. And then good to have Sarah Scambler in the new library position, so congratulations, Sarah. And then summer reading program is up, 140 kids signed up.
165.
How many?
165.
Ah, you updated it, nice, 165, all right. And then a big thanks to the Friends of the Library. They had a library cleanup on March 6th, and there were 12 members who came and cleaned up the ground. So thank you to the Friends of the Library for kind of helping to clean up the library area and trying to beautify everything. And then for Parks and Rec, a lot of pictures have been posted. We keep, especially on the Facebook pages, they've done a tremendous amount over the last couple of weeks between the bathrooms and the parks and trying to get everything cleaned up. So definitely thanks to Eric and Lane for the hard work they've done, and Lucy as well. So and Devin. So thank them very much for all their hard work. One thing they are looking at the facilities is converting the racquetball court into a strength training space. The existing racquetball court maybe gets used once, twice a month, whereas it's packed in the weight training facility every day, and it's kind of overflowing. So looking at potentially changing that from a racquetball court into a weight training facility. So if there's any public members who want to come and comment, please do. Please just let us know what your thoughts are. But as far as use-wise, we definitely get more use out of out of other uses than the racquetball. It's just not as popular as what it once was.
And the pool?
So the pool is swim ready and waiting on the contractors to finish up upgrades to the controls and HVAC systems. They're there this week, so hopefully next week we should be up running, but that's dependent on the HVAC systems getting up and running.
Okay.
But the pool itself is looking great. Definitely kudos to Lane as well. He replaced some of those windows, and then as he kind of peeled those back, and those a lot of rust like inside where the glass panes were that you couldn't see. So they're taking them all off now, and they're gonna redo all of them so that they don't have any issues in the future as far as glass breaking because of the rust. So a lot of preventive maintenance going on with those guys. So appreciate all their hard work, and same thing with Capital Facilities as well. A lot of hard work and maintenance getting done right now. So, and one last thing, I would just like to thank Assemblymember Dalrymple for putting together kind of a response for the Forest Service SAS FM. It's kind of in my report. So I wanted to go ahead and I wanted you to have a chance to, Assemblymembers, to have a chance to look at it and review it. Bob did a great job of putting this together. I was going to go ahead and sign it and get it to the Forest Service for our comments as a community. But so if you do have any comments, please let me know, and I can add those to it and get it in there for our response back. And that's all I have.
Okay. And Sarah Merritt retired after 22 years with the library, filling in. So we thank her for that contribution.
We do.
And City Park Pavilion, do you have...
So
something good to report on that?
I do. So as soon as the same crew that's doing the exterior siding on the pool right now, as soon as they're kind of done with the work they have, or they're working on now and waiting for materials to come in, they're going to jump over and at least do the demo work for the pavilion, and they'll put up a temporary structure interior, so we'll at least be able to kind of get back in there and use it again until we come up with the final design. But okay, it'll be usable. We won't have the fire pit, but the pavilion itself will be usable.
And for the public, your manager's report and all the department reports will be on our website.
I'll post it on the website.
Right. Any questions from the assembly? All right. Financial report, an update.
Right on. Well, we got a lot of things to discuss, some good, some bad, but I'll start with some of the good stuff. We've been rocking it on our investments. Kind of something cool to report is we hosted our AMLIP board meeting. For those of you who don't know, that's the Alaska Municipal League Investment Pool, which I'm a board member on. So we hosted that here at the Nolan Center. So thanks to the Nolan Center staff for hosting that and doing a great job there. Wrangell is the second community to invest in AMLIP Series 2, which is currently yielding 5.3%. So something really cool is we actually seeded that fund with Juno, so it wouldn't have existed without our contribution and us kind of taking that risk. So really great. Since then, there's been $45 million invested into that, and the fund's going to be a great success for the pool, rather. So really awesome. So right now in AMLIP Series 2, we got just over $5 million yielding 5.3%. AMLIP Series 1, which was our typical vehicle that's highly liquid, you know, 3 days notice is all you need, 4.8%. Alaska Permanent Capital Management, our permanent fund, went from $9.6 million to $10.2 this year over year. That's a $610,000 swing at 6.35%. Our operating fund with Alaska Permanent Capital has got a three-year yield of 5.15%. And then our time value investment portfolio, which is an independently brokered account through me and an advisor, 4.85% over 3 years. So all told, we're averaging over 5% on just under $40 million, which is really exciting. I mean, I put our portfolio of investments up against most communities across the West Coast, probably. So that's awesome. Happy to see the progress. And I'll have a drafted report this next meeting in August, just so you guys can see it in front of you. But with audit coming up, I got to focus on that. So we'll talk a little bit about the audit. So audit for fiscal year 22 filed, which is great. We finally issued it. They got done with their backlog. So we're working right into fiscal year 23. One of the improvement points we're working on is drafting the financials in-house, similar to what we do with the budget. That'll save $15,000 this next year on the audit, and it'll also give me some experience that I want. Petersburg's probably going to do the same thing. None of our communities have ever drafted the financials in-house. They've always done it for us. So that'll be a step in the right direction.
So what does drafting the financials in-house mean?
Yeah, so basically that big 150-page packet that you guys get will be created by us rather than them. So right now we give them kind of the back-end schedule, so our trial balance and a simple balance sheet, simple income statement that's all audit-adjusted by us, and then they actually plug it into their financial software and create the 150-page document. Now we're going to take that in-house now that we have some help with a controller coming online. And
our Cassell software will help you with that.
It'll help. Right. It'll definitely help. It won't do it for me, but you know, they don't do it for the auditors either. There's no software that does that. Maybe with AI in 10 years, that'd be really cool, but one day. But we went from 8 findings back in the prior finance director's era to 4, and next year we should be like 1 or 0. So that's really cool. We're getting closer to a completely clean bill of health and restoring confidence and all that. It's awesome. Really great relationship with our auditors. I'll shift over to federal and state funding sources. Some good, some bad. SRS, last year we took in $1.171 million for SRS. This year, in 23, fiscal year 23, which just ended, we get it towards the end of the year, $807,000. So that's a good $300,000+ drop, which was kind of unanticipated. PILT revenue from the Department of Interior, $496,000 down to $435,000. We're still on track for the PILT budget overall, because remember, we get a PILT from search. So we're like, you know, dead on the PILT towards the budget. Community assistance actually went up from $385,000 to $424,000. So that's a good one. And then we have some fish tax to look forward to with Trident running. Fish tax is kind of ambiguous. I sent the Petersburg finance director a text on my way here. And how do you guys look at fish tax and how do you project it? She said, well, she sent me a picture from the beach down in Ocean Shores and said, I'm not really thinking about that. But she said it's kind of ambiguous. And the reason it's ambiguous is they take basically everything that's on a municipal balance, the state gets it, and they give half back. So I don't ever see the figures for it. It's really hard to project. But last time Trident ran, we had about $400,000. And last year we had $119,000 in raw fish tax. So that'll be a nice shot in the arm for us. In addition, Trident's this utility bill this last month, $45,000. So that doesn't hurt either. Controller, starting August 7th, James Silva, straight out of college, really excited to have him. He's moving up here on Thursday, so we're going to kind of start a little bit, but we will look forward to him starting. He's going to focus on a lot of grant reporting, making sure those are timely and accurate, a lot of capital project accounting to see what we can't save in projects and cost-saving initiatives across the board. That's the main function of a controller. Get rid of that one audit finding to have one more competent level of review. And he's also going to work on the Cassell implementation with me and provide you guys with some better budget updates than we've produced in the past. So excited to see him. I can confidently say that every member of my department brings more value than their actual salary is. So we've definitely done the math on that a couple of times. Opportunities, looking forward to the part. I just told this to our economic development director today, but I was thinking of the Department of Homeland Security grant, which is also called the SHSP grant. Me and Robbie sat in on a meeting today over building security, which might tie into that grant. So kind of like we did with the harbor security cameras, it might be a good school safety solution and having like tap cards to get in for if you're a student or faculty member. That way exterior of the buildings is kind of locked down and limited to certain personnel. It's only $25,000 for a 10-year subscription to the high school. That's a 16-door key card entry thing. But it could be expanded to an array of buildings. It wouldn't have to just be the high school. It could be City Hall. It could be, you know, an entrance to the gate at the water reservoir, whatever it is. But I think that would be a really great solution to enhancing our security. And that grant's like anti-terrorism related, so be a good fit. Public safety building, got to do something. What is it? I don't know. Maybe give you some ideas here later. But we do have a really cool opportunity to do financing through USDA. 55% of the project we would qualify being a lower income community for grant funding. So if we have a $10 million project, we get $5.5 million in funding. 4.5 would be a loan at a low interest rate, probably under 3%. that's doable. That's something we can do. So it's really the only viable option I've seen across my desk, but that's not to say it's the only one. So we can talk more about public safety building later. Water and collection. This was something that Seb, our federal lobbyist, sent to Jeff recently. USDA came out, USDARD came out with a new program for water, wastewater, and sanitation, offering really low interest-bearing loans to satisfy different functions in water, sewer, and collection. It's like 2.125%. And I kind of did some scenarios and I sent it to Tom about the biggest needs for like wastewater is probably the disinfection stage, right? We could, right now, the wastewater fund, if we were fully to get a loan, could take a loan out for like $6.5 million towards that project. I think it was estimated at like $12.5 million for that second disinfection layer to be established up there. So that gets us maybe closer to that. If not, you know, we can utilize the loans in different capacities. Sanitation needs a new garbage truck. We probably need a scale. We need some containers because the shipping company, the regional, what's it called? Regional Waste Disposal?
Republic.
Yeah. So they're probably going to require us to own our own containers. These are all things that could be addressed through this program. We can talk about priorities later, but a really exciting opportunity. This is a great time to issue debt, or not issue debt, but take on debt when you're getting 2.125% and we're getting a 5% return on our investments. That's just smart.
And this is USDA.
Yep, USDA Rural Development. Yep. Okay. Yep, exactly. So we'll follow up on that. I have a lot of questions to USDA right now, so I'll keep you guys posted on how that develops. Sales tax doing great. Hard to say because there's still quite a few people that need to remit in these last few days of the month. But we'll definitely hit that benchmark that I set, published in the budget of $3.75 million, probably a little bit more. Hard to say. Property taxes, we had once upon a time a collections listing of $170,000. It's now $33,000, and the final foreclosure listing has been filed, and the motion was granted. So we made a lot of progress there, thanks to Callie and Robbie. They did a lot of work on that. So that was the point in hiring a sales tax and property tax clerk, which has been awesome. You know, people have 1 year to redeem their property, and that starts basically today. Water treatment plant, you guys had a little discussion earlier about what we have, what we don't have. I mean, estimates were, what, $21 million for the water treatment plant for engineering. Bids come in on August 9th, right, Kim?
Yeah.
So we have to discuss at some point the scenario of if bids come up above. We'll see where they are, but we need to have a game plan and be proactive about it. Right now we have $12.217 million in grant funding. We have $16.038 million when you contribute the loan from USDA that we would be taking on. And then that does not include, that $16 million does not include the 45% of the total project cost that USDA has said they were going to commit when the time comes. So we'll be right at where the engineering estimate is, but comes in at $28 million or $25 million, we have to figure out a plan. And what that is, we need to talk more about that. And there's a school. Jeff said we're going to have a potential work session on August 28th. Definitely support that and happy to provide any figures that you guys want to see for different scenarios, solutions. But I will leave you with this. We have $1.5 million in the Secure Rural School Fund estimated to be had at the end of a year's time from now. After all our projects, that's if all our projects for the school, the elevator, the fire alarm, a potential new project, all are within the scope of our budget and we don't go over. If we do, we're just cutting more into that funding. But I think we have to get to the mindset of we need our school to operate as efficiently as possible, and we need to save we need to be saving SRS funds for roads in the future because we have no funding to tackle roads as of right now, and we need to create a strategic plan to be able to fund roads in the future. And I think SRS is our only viable option, and just having an efficient school district and us being efficient ourselves as an organization, I think that's the key to getting our roads done. So hopeful that we can get to the point of saving SRS and not watching it dwindle or even keeping flush. Last thing is work sessions. I got a couple work session or one work session scheduled. It's going to be a two-parter with Kim's permission. Start at 5:30 on August 22nd. Maybe Jim will get dinner. And we'll do 40 minutes with the auditors. They're going to present the audit, which I didn't put it in this packet, but it's available for you guys when you want it. But I'll put it in the next packet. So she's going to walk through any concerns, any high-level financial statement review. And then we're going to have Blake Phillips of Alaska Permanent Capital Management come down, give a 40-minute presentation on our permanent funds, target allocations. So every year we set benchmarks for the way we allocate our $10.2 million currently of permanent fund money, given market conditions. So that's where we say, well, we want 68% in equities. We want, you know, 12% in alternatives and, you know, that conversation. So he's going to give us some guidance on what to expect, and we'll probably have an item for you guys on that agenda to adopt something. So that is it.
Tell me again how much will be left in SRS after this fiscal year.
Yeah, $1.5 million. Okay. And if you want the exact figure, it's in the budget, but just short of $1.5
million.
Okay. So, and you remember that we fund the schools in a lot of different ways through our projects, too. So
yeah,
it's not just the $1.6 million we give them.
Right. Okay. Any questions? Good financial report. Even the bad stuff. All right. Report, please.
Sure. So hopefully you saw in my report that on the next agenda there will be an ordinance to address the Board of Equalization procedures, which is a request from the Assembly. I think at the last BOE meeting, I thought it was really good. I thought it was very structured, and I think it's a good idea to memorialize that, the procedures in the code. And our attorney did ask, you know, did we want to adopt it by resolution and just have it as a procedure, and I explained that probably better in the code so that the public can see that. They can see how the procedures and process. Plus, it's not a big deal to put it in the code. So anyway, so that'll come to the Assembly at the next meeting. It's all ready. We're ready for it. And then you can see it gearing up for elections. So August 1st is our declaration for candidacy opening all the way to August 31st. We have two for Assembly 3-year, one for school 3-year, one for court 3-year. So. If anybody's interested in any of those seats, the listening public, you know, just come and see me. But our notices that we do for elections, we go above and beyond what we're required to do. And so hopefully we'll get, you know, some interest for those seats. And so I do have the election calendar for you to view. And other than that, I'm just going to get knee-deep in elections coming up. Anyway. Yeah.
And we do encourage the public to put in for one of these offices.
Yep, absolutely. And if anybody even has any questions, just come and talk to me about it.
Right. Yeah, all the procedures and everything. Any questions? All right. Mayor and Assembly business. Any Assembly members have anything to report? Assembly Member Dalrymple, anything?
That's in the report, Mayor. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Number 10, Mayor and Assembly appointments. We have a vacancy on our Economic Development Board, and we have a citizen, Jillian Privet, who has put in a letter of interest. So with the consent of the Assembly, I'd like to appoint her to that position and thank her for volunteering. It's a very worthwhile board. All right, now down to business. We have a public hearing. This is item 11A, ordinance number 1044 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending chapter 3.05.020, Order of Business in the Wrangell Municipal Code. I will open the public hearing and ask for an administrative report, please.
So this basically is I believe it's a housekeeping item. The presentations are before the roll call, and it should be a reverse. So this just will reverse that and make it, it makes more sense.
Correct, and we need to establish a quorum before we can have a meeting.
Absolutely.
All right, any comment from the public? Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1044.
Second.
All right, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Any discussion? All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assemblymember Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Geller?
Yes. Unfinished business, there is none. So under new business 13A, resolution number 07-23-1796 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget by transferring $53,605 from the general fund reserve to the general fund capital budget for the public safety building rehabilitation project.
Move to approve resolution number 07-23-1796.
All right.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell. And we'll have a report, please.
Madam Mayor, so what this does is it basically gives us a preliminary architectural report for the public safety building. And as Mason mentioned in his financial report, what this will allow us to do is go after USDA grant funding, which would be 55% of the project cost. So on a $10 million project, that's $5.5 million, and then we'd get a loan for $4.5 million. So whatever that would end up being as far as the siding, roofing, or whatever projects, on the interior we want to do, heating, ventilation system, this would allow us to go after that USDA grant funding for that project.
Right, and this is moving the money from general fund to our capital improvement fund.
And it does have some contingency in there as well.
Correct. Any comment from the Assembly? Assemblymember Powell?
I have major problems with this. I don't know how many times we have looked at this building, but I'm sure, I think if Amber was here, I think we're up to like $300,000 on just surveys. And now here we go on another one. And the reason why I have problems with this is because we just approved over $700,000 to look at a ready plans for the light plant, the power plant. And every time we do something like this, we're spending money on new design or new surveys and stuff like that. And we have not even come up with an idea of what to do with this building. I mean, we don't know if we should rip this building down. And the other major problem I have with this is what we're going with through the pool building right now. I mean, you go up there and they found a lot more than they thought they were going to find. And I don't believe that drilling holes in a building is finding what you're going to find. I don't believe that. I think that you start getting into the inner part of that gutter system up in that building there, they're going to find so much stuff that someone's going to say, wow. 10% in this contingency of not just this, but what they're going to, $10 million put in this building, and they're going to come out and go, well, 10% of $10 million, $1 million more, and all of a sudden we're $5 million more. I have a major problem. We haven't said what we're doing with the building. I mean, all of a sudden we want to do another $50,000 to possibly get grant funding, and are we repairing the building? I mean, where are we at? I mean, we haven't come up with a plan. I have not seen a plan come forward for this building or the fire department or anything yet. I mean, we put a stop to it last time because we're spending a lot of money. Now here we are, going to spend more money. Has anybody said what we're doing? I mean,
this would be for residing and putting a new roof on. That's what this, and honestly, I mean, and we can talk a little bit more like whenever we do the, with the school board. I mean, there are some options there as well.
Yeah.
So we don't have to start this until we make a decision there. But the problem is we can't afford any other options. Like, we just can't afford other projects that are out there. We just can't. So this isn't, all this does is allow us to, like, we're not trying to get every, it just allows us to go after the grant funding for through USDA.
Well, that,
and if we don't do this, we can't even write and get and ask for grant funding for it until we get this done.
Yeah. Well, this relies on some of the past architectural and engineering studies, and this particular item that we're voting on in terms of money is more of a rationale for the loan entity. The grant and the loan. Yes.
That's what it's, yeah. That's specifically what it's for. I wouldn't be doing it to make a decision on what we're going to do with it. It's to go after the grant funding.
Right. And if we could secure that grant money, and I understand the other items that we have voted on in the past were structural engineering and condition assessments and everything. To me, correct me if I'm wrong, this is more of the, well, rationale or the use of that grant money that we may, receive.
And the longer we wait, the more damage is being done to that building. I mean, there's significant roof issues that we know we have.
Yeah.
We just did a recent survey of it and some areas that are really bad. And I don't disagree that it could grow because we haven't seen 10% on the pool siding. I mean, there's definitely been some rot that we have to replace in some areas that we didn't even know we had rot because of the gutter system on the inside of the building that was leaking that we didn't know was leaking. So there's, I'm not saying that there's definitely potential it could be bad.
Well, and that was my question also, kind of piggybacks off of Assemblymember Powell, but how much of an inspection are they going to do with costing us $53,000? Because we've been used to paying $120,000.
Just really a building survey. So just a preliminary architecture report that's got to get done. And we tried to see if the previous reports that we had done on it would count, and USDA came back and said no.
There too. And this is similar to what the school is doing to obtain money through EED, correct? Like a condition survey.
Correct.
Any comment or any other questions?
I just don't.
Well, you're correct, Assemblymember Powell. We've spent a tremendous amount of money trying to come up with a solution. And the problem is we cannot do it without getting some sort of assistance. And whether we go with, take the whole top level off or...
We've come up with a lot of ideas.
We certainly have.
We have not seen anything, though. I mean, but these ideas have been thrown out there, but there's no numbers thrown out with any of these ideas at all. We haven't talked to any engineers or anything like that about any of the ideas we've come up with.
Well, I mean, the estimate for this right now, doing the roofing and siding, is $10.5 million, including the HVAC on the inside. So that's $10.5 million. A new building is 32, I think, is. But okay. that was prices from two years ago.
And that's a new building in kind. That's not a new
building.
That's
a new building.
I mean, I remember having this conversation with everybody. I don't know if it works out or anything, but and I said it. I said we need to start looking outside the box and not just think that this is where everything needs to be. And we have not discussed that. We haven't seen anything like that. I mean, you and me have discussed where different sites and where things could go, but it just blows me away that we could spend $35 million, even in old days, $35 million to build a building like that when I see people around, you know, the natives up there, $3.5 million on that building up there. I mean, that $3.5 million could house our fire department with ease. I mean, it just blows me away that we're going to spend $10 million.
But I'm not, Mr. Mayor. To the mayor. I'm not worried about, honestly, the fire department's the least of the cost out of all. I mean, that's the easy solution, really. Yeah. because we could probably get some grant funding for that one. It's really police and the court and all the other functions that are associated with that building right now, even disposing of that building. It would be a significant cost because we have a range in there. So now we have...
I'm not saying to get rid of the building completely. I mean, we've come up with ideas here before. I mean, if you built a fire department outside of that building somewhere else in some other grounds, and then you took that building and you cut it in half, and you even came up with the idea that, you know, you could house part of it in one side of it, build, rebuild it, and put the other side back there and rebuild the other side. I mean, it's quite capable of doing it and keep it down to one story. Keep the range underneath. You wouldn't. The range is still there. I mean, you're not going to have... I mean, so there's ideas out there. I just, it's very hard for me to go to spend this money to get $10 million on something that we're...
Well, and what... And just,
yeah, go ahead, yes.
What I would say is that regardless of what we do, we're going to have to do something in that building.
Right.
And we have to have that par to be able to get any grant money for it. And we need to start that process because the... By doing that, it allows us to go after the grant funding, which it's going to take the part. You're probably talking two, three months before we have that done. And so,
let me ask this question then, Jeff. If we go ahead and approve this and we get this par, does that mean that we have to build the building and kind of put the roof on and all that stuff? We could look at other options after we do this.
This is just allowing us to go after grant money, and that could be... Depending on what that, I mean, we could have different solutions. This would just be for this building and be able to get grant money depending on whatever the solutions ends up being for this building, even if it's taking the top part off and then moving it somewhere else. This allows us to go after the grant funding to do something to that building. And if we don't start protecting the shell, there's going to be nothing left. I mean, it's getting worse and worse every year. And the more and more gets delayed, the worse that building gets. And my worry is this winter, based on what we've seen for some of the roofing system we have in there now, like how bad that's going to get over the wintertime. So I definitely
we're going to find out. Right. You ain't going to correct it right now anyway.
Right.
I mean, we're going to find out when the winter.
We'll do a temporary patch to it, but I definitely have concerns.
Well, and tell the public what you have discovered with the roofing system.
So there's
the roof.
Yeah, there's definitely there's a section up there on the roof that most of the roofing system that is the protective layer is gone.
It's been compromised.
So it's basically plywood that's rotten that you can almost put your foot through because nothing's really been done to the roof, I don't think, since it's been built 37 years ago. And typically on a roof system or even siding, like if you're siding for your house, siding on a roof, they don't last 40 years, especially a wood-sided building and a flat roof. They don't last that long.
With an
interior gutter system. So it probably should have been done probably 10 years ago. Typical, it's 25, 30 years, the typical life of the type of systems we have.
And will this analysis give us a better idea of the condition, the current condition?
I don't know if it'll give us a better idea. I think the frustrating part is we have to go through this process.
Right.
To go after grant money because we've already spent a lot of money on a lot of assessments that have been done and the next one, and I know it's tough, but we are asking for a sole source to go back to the same company that done most of the work. Mm-hmm. So it's cheaper to go to them because they've already done a lot of the legwork initially to get the par, but it is frustrating. I definitely don't want to go through this. I don't want to be spending the money. I just rather go ask for the grant money because we'll have a better idea as far as what the solution is going to be. And I think the school could be part of that answer. We don't know until we have those discussions.
And we do have that workshop August 22, so we should get closer.
August
28. Workshop. Oh, yeah, August 28 with the school. You're right.
Tentatively.
Okay. Any other comments?
Well, I'll just say that I will go ahead. I mean, I will support this. But it's going to be a very hard conversation to get the money to just band-aid that building for me.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough.
That'll be another discussion. Mm-hmm. All right. Poll vote, please.
Okay. Assembly members, Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a professional services agreement with Northwind Architect in the amount of $48,732.35 for the public safety building rehabilitation project.
Move to approve a professional service agreement with Northwind Architects of the amount of $48,732.35 for the public safety building rehabilitation project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. This is a continuation manager.
It is. It's a professional services agreement with Northwind Architects. They're the ones who've done, you know, quite a few of the other analysis of the buildings currently. So the cost there is going to be cheaper just because they know the building. They have all the systems down to be able to go through and get the PAR done. So it's a sole source contract with Northwind Architects to be able to do that.
Okay. And they'll use all their previous analysis.
Correct.
And this PAR report, is it mostly narrative or... Does it include drawings and things of that sort?
It does, and they will do an inspection. It's like a building inspection to come and take a look at the condition. It's been, a year or two since they've done the last inspection.
Okay. Right. Any questions or comments, Assembly? Assembly Member Dalrymple, anything?
No, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly
members
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Downerhold?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor
Dover? Yes. Item C, resolution number 07-23-1797 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget in the Police Professional Services contractual account in the General Fund by increasing authorized expenditures for the Office of Children's Services position from $0 to $25,000.
Move to approve resolution number 07-23-1797.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please.
So, Madam Mayor, since we had the budget and this was requested to be put back on here, I have been in contact with OCS, and that position is the person that's in the position currently is moving, so it will be vacant. There doesn't sound like they're really excited about trying to bring somebody back here to fill the position, so it'd really be us trying to. And I'm not sure if the $25,000 would still be good if they would even bring someone back, based on the workload and the cases that they have here. The person was gone quite a bit, and this would cover about a quarter of what their salary is. I'm not sure what we get out of spending this money and then even trying to go after OCS to bring the position back here.
And we don't have any numbers on clients served in Wrangell and the amount of time spent in Wrangell, do we?
We don't.
That's probably all confidential. All right. Assembly.
Well, before even that, I was going to say no, because we already give them office space, and I mean, no other community is putting into this, so why would we even pay for a quarter of it if they're being used by a lot of other communities and they're not paying anything? I was going to absolutely go against this 100%, but now I really am, since they are, I'm not going to support it.
All right. Any other comments? Assembly Member DeBoer?
Just my issue is we're the only ones paying for it in the entire state.
Yes.
So that's not fair.
Okay. Any other comments?
Yeah, I have one more.
Assembly Member Powell?
I just feel that the state should actually, this should be something the state is, they should be funding this for our community. We should not be losing something because of what they're doing.
Yeah. And as far as the state's concerned, the office space is still available if they fill the position.
Correct. And as
whether we vote yay or nay on this item.
And Madam Mayor, as calls come in, they will still bring somebody here on a case-by-case basis as needed. So we'll still get the services. They just won't have someone here locally.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly Member Robbins?
No.
Dalrymple?
Yes. Yes.
Powell?
No.
DeBoer?
No.
And Mayor Gilbert?
No. Motion fails. Item D, resolution number 07-23-1798 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2024 budget by transferring $110,000 from the general fund reserves to the Parks and Rec CIP fund for the swimming pool siding replacement project and authorizing its expenditures.
Move to approve resolution number 07-23-1798.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Administrative report, please.
So, Madam Mayor, this has a couple things in it. One is for the hat channel that's going to go behind the siding. It was one thing missed by the architect was the hat channel requirement. Based on the material sample he had and the sample he had, they said the hat channel wasn't required. So this would, based off our conversations with the manufacturer, there was a change, and they said it absolutely is required. If temperatures get above 110, which very unlikely in our case here, then it could warp. But the problem is if we don't install it with the hat channel, and it does, then it won't be covered under warranty. So that's the risk of not doing it, not getting the hat channel. And then the additional $11,000 is, as some member Powell mentioned, it's basically some of the conditions we have found since opening up the wall on the existing area where we had the internal gutters that it was leaking and causing dry rot behind the siding.
And we haven't taken off all the old siding, so that's just this section that we're dealing with.
Right.
So
it was roughly, I think, $5,000 for the one area, and then a little bit more for the other area. And then a good chunk of this is for contingencies as well as we continue to move forward. Yeah.
And the siding that we were shown, the assembly got to handle, was that the older version? And we're getting the newer version that requires the hat channel. Is that correct?
Correct. It was the same one, but it does require the hat channel.
Oh, okay.
Right. So same version, but requires a hat channel, which just basically gives air behind the back of it.
So, yeah, I did add that up. So that brings the total to $536,000. I think that's correct. All right. Any questions or comments? Assembly Member Powell.
First off, right off the bat, have they ordered and received the siding?
Okay. I would have to verify with Amber, but I think the siding they have ordered, but I don't think they've ordered the hat channel yet. And I'm not sure what the cost would be to stop the order if there's a restocking fee to be able to do that.
I'm going to say it. I said this when we started this project. Metal siding is very cheap, very easy to maintain, blah, blah, blah. So I'm not very happy with this at all because this siding went from
wood.
You know, I mean, this is crazy to me. All of a sudden, we could have did something different if we were going to spend that much money on siding. So I don't know. I'll say this the easiest way I can. If I ran my business like this, I'd be out of business, completely out. I mean, I would not be there because you cannot. This is not 10% of a mistake. I mean, this is huge. I mean, this. I just don't know what to say about this. I mean, we can't stop now, but I would definitely want to know that. For one, if the sign's been delivered, if it ain't been delivered, then I would really like to look at this again.
We can.
Metal's pretty easy. They can get metal and go, okay, guess what, man? We're putting that stuff on. I mean, you can fill it with tar paper. You can fill it with Tyvek and put the metal on the side of the building, and you're done. And you know what? It'll last 50, 60 years. I don't even, this siding is new. I was worried about this siding when we talked about this. And now all of a sudden, we're spending another $75,000 on putting half channels into the siding. This is crazy to me. Absolutely crazy. I would really like to know if this siding has been, is if we can't just say no to the siding and look at putting metal on that thing, color it any color you want. I don't care. I mean, to me, our public buildings do not need. I mean, they do not need to be the Taj Mahal. They do not need to be very pretty. I would rather be 50 years from now and saying, look at that. That building's still standing there and we haven't done nothing to it. Rather than say, 20 years from now, well, guess what? That siding didn't work very well. Guess what? We're doing it again. Because we don't know. I mean, that siding hasn't been out that long. I'm really concerned with this. I would rather have this. I mean, what's the timeline on this? What's the timeline on this? Do you need an answer tonight about this funding?
Either that or the work stops and
Madam Mayor, I mean we can look into it and we can see if we can change it. Even if we get the additional funding, we can still go back and ask if it hasn't already been here and it hasn't been ordered and the fundings haven't been distributed for it. We can definitely ask those questions and see what the cost would be to change it. And if we can, we will. If we can.
Well, you can come back to us, but meanwhile, we've got the siding torn off part of the building. And we always knew this was going to be a problem because of our lack of maintenance.
And I'll say it again. Now, this is a little tiny project compared to the public safety. Oh, this is small.
It's that the hat channel, that's a significant amount to it that we didn't know about. We did have some conversations with the architect and they mm-hmm. thought the information she had, it wasn't required, but so there was, this was definitely something unexpected that we should.
Well, the hat channel not only facilitates the heat that you're mentioning, but I would assume flow of air with all of our moisture.
It's a flow of air behind.
Yeah. It's probably very much required up here. So it's a decision, Assembly, whether we go forward with this. And Assembly Member Dalrymple, do you have any thoughts before I call poll vote?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I share Dave's concerns in a broader sense that we kind of go into these things a little naive and that I think we're susceptible to some G-Wiz technology, but it's been a priority for the Assembly for quite a few years, and I think it is for the community as well. And I guess my thoughts would be I would like to just get this done and go ahead and spend the $100,000 or so to ensure that happens.
Thank you. And a lot of this money was grant money that we're utilizing. So I'm hoping we're making the right decision and making the best use of this grant money.
Madam.
Yes, Assembly Member Powell.
Have we already, have they already demolitioned all the siding off, the old siding off and everything? Is it all off all the way around? They're doing the whole job?
I'm not positive of that.
Yeah, I don't think it is. Last time I looked.
Okay.
Yeah. And we don't, to your point, Assembly Member Powell, we don't know the condition of the siding around the other part.
I have one question, and this is just an observation as a citizen, right? Do we need the walkway underneath? Does that provide anything? Okay, if you took that element out of the project, would it make it much cheaper? Because that's really just a cover for that walkway, right?
It would. At this point, it would probably make it more expensive.
Right.
It'd be nice to not have it, and then fix the roof issue as well, and then make an external drain instead of the internal drain. but we're probably past that point now, not knowing before what exactly that provided. So.
Yeah. For the public, will you explain about the internal drain and what happened?
So apparently the drainage system on that building, even though it is a sloped roof, they actually kind of about 4 feet from the edge, they actually have a block. And then that's where the gutter system is, which is on the exterior wall of the building, but not to the exterior of where the columns are.
Right, to the edge.
To the edge.
Right.
And there's actually the drains for the gutters that are in the middle of the roof actually drop down inside behind the wall, but outside of the cinder block wall where the pool is. So there's a little space in there where the gutters actually go down in. They're hidden. You can't see them.
And you can't get to them unless you tear a wall out from either side.
Correct. And then, you know, going up on the roof, which we'll add this into our inspections as well, is that's going to be an annual inspection of each one of those drains and make sure that it's completely sealed up. But that's where it was coming in behind one of those, and behind one of those drains is where it was coming in.
Yeah.
I think actually both the drains where those gutters are on the internal side, but again, from the exterior side, you couldn't see it until you opened it up.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. And not only infrastructure and economic development, but maintenance
it's been our goal.
Okay. Any other questions, Assemblymember DeBoard?
So kind of echo and agree with Dave. My frustration in this is we pay these architects a significant amount of money to begin with, and you make a $100,000 mistake. That's my issue. There's how much did we pay? Can you remember off the top of your head? Tens of thousands.
I think it was 70-some.
70-some thousand yeah. dollars, and you miss $100,000.
I know.
Issue. I'm kind of with Dave with the metal roof, and an extra $110,000 would go a long way, especially if we open up the rest of it and it's a bigger issue. Now, the other question I have too is there's no way to get rid of these internal gutters. We're going to build this back and we're still going to have the internal gutter problem.
We're not touching the roof right now, so the roof not part of the project.
So the internal gutters will remain?
We did make repairs to the gutter systems. We'll put that, we've re-riveted with a lot more rivets around the gutter system that's there, one with a better material as well as far as the seal around it. And then we will make this part of our annual inspection to make sure that it gets an annual look and resealant as needed.
Well, if there's any way that we could look at pursuing some kind of internal to external gutter system, because even if you got that, you still can't see behind the wall, right? And that's older than I am. So that's going to fail at some point in time. I just kind of hate to put $400,000 or $500,000 worth of siding up, and then 3 years from now something internally fail, and then we're ripping it all off again. Although it is easier to take metal off and put it back on.
All right. Any other comments, questions? This is a hard one.
I would just say that
Assemblymember Powell.
That I would really like to know if they've done what they've, if they've got the siding here and all that stuff. If they haven't, then I would like to see other options. If they have, I guess we're, like Bob said, we're going to continue where we're at, and we're going to spend the money. But if they have, I'm with Bob on, I really want it done. I know the community wants it done, but I'm still going to go with my metal siding is the ticket to everything, and I would really like to know if they didn't do it. I would say we put a little bit of kibosh to let them finish it up. I can't believe metal siding is that hard to get right now. So I would just ask to do your due diligence on, like, tomorrow, call them up and say, have we ordered this stuff? Has it been, is there a way we can stop it? And then come back to us after that. If there is, if there isn't, continue on.
Am I there?
Yep, yes.
I would just say to continue moving with forward with the progress, can I get the options to do both, like forward the metal?
To continue to tear off the old siding?
Well, continue moving forward the project. Like if we can change out and it's cheaper and get a cost estimate that's cheaper, because we may have to go with U.S. Steel based off it being grant money.
That's what I was thinking.
So that could significantly increase the cost of what the siding would be, but we could at least look into it. And then depending on what those options are, and go with the cheaper of the two if we can change it, and then give me authority to go with the cheaper of the two. Up to a special.
Yeah, we can't approve that right now without any kind of documentation.
Okay.
Yeah. And plus, you have to check with the contractor. The contractor has an approved contract,
This gets messy.
Well, I guess we'll just eat this one.
Yeah.
Because, like she said, it's already a contract.
It's already been bid out.
We could do a special though, right?
We could do a special, but like I said, you'd have to talk to the contractor, see if if it's been ordered. If not, can we order the metal? If so, how much will that win and everything like that? But I mean, you'd have to check with the contractor.
Madam Mayor, definitely look into it, and if for some reason we can get it cheaper, or like the other stuff hasn't been ordered, and we can get it cheaper, then I'll come back with a special with a different price as far as the metal. And otherwise, I'll proceed on with what you guys approve here.
Okay. Is that clear to everyone?
I would just say that, if we're talking, I don't want you to come back here for a special meeting for $10,000. Okay. it's got to be considerably cheaper. Maybe not spending the $70,000 or $80,000 that extra for the jave, or for that bolt stuff.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
I do.
If it is, it is. I don't want to halt this whole thing because we made a mistake. You know what I mean?
Well, and we don't know if it's a mistake. We really don't. And we've got grant money involved, so that makes it very dicey. Backtracking.
I'd say one thing, I have $18,000 on that grant because we bought a garbage truck with it too, so that was funded part of the project, but that $118,000 coming to go pretty quick. So, and tin siding, that's not U.S. Steel regs, is
it? Metal. It's metal.
So is that subject to the same regs?
I'd have to verify.
So possible, maybe it's not, but I don't think regardless you'd be subject to any grant constraints, like where you could just put all the engineering and demolition expense towards that and buy the metal ourselves with no provisions, but that's just a consideration.
Okay. Well, and one thing that we considered with metal is that it was able to be dented.
That was a concern, not take a lot of
wear and tear as far as that's concerned, especially on the lower ground level siding. So this is supposed to be a little bit, very much more sturdier.
More impact resistant.
Right.
And that was the concern with the metal at the lower levels, given the high traffic areas.
Exactly.
So.
Kids bouncing balls and
stuff. I would ask the question then. You got the siding on there, right? And I don't know exactly that. I only can see an engineer plan right now. But you got some kind of, what'd you call the clips?
Hat channel.
What's the space between that hat channel? Now you got a space between there. That hat channel ain't going to protect every space. So how impact resistance is it with the hat channel? Is that hat channel sit here and here, and you got a inch and a half space behind there? How much impact resistant is it now?
I don't think the void is that. I think it's a very slender void, isn't it?
Yeah.
With the lip that I saw on the siding.
Yeah. With the material that they presented, definitely had some, it had a structural element to it.
Right.
For stiffness.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Any other comments? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members. Downerhol?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
And Mayor Gower?
Yes. Item F, resolution number 07-23-1799 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska. Thank you. Okay, I was ahead of myself. 13E, approval of change order number one to Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $91,125.95 for the swimming pool siding replacement project.
Move to approve change order number one to Johnson Construction and Supply Incorporated in the amount of $91,125.95 for the swimming pool siding replacement project.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Report, please. This follows.
It follows the change in the amount for the siding to Johnson Construction, who's currently doing the work.
Okay, and this is replacement of damaged exterior and the hatch channel to put the siding on. Any comments, questions? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gower?
Yes. Item F, resolution number 07-23-1799 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, writing off specific property taxes for tax years 2018 to 2023 for multiple property owners due to manifest clerical errors.
Move to approve resolution number 07-23-1799.
Second.
Okay, motion by Robbins, second by Powell. And report, please.
Madam Mayor, a good chunk of this was for actually the properties that we had bought and were never taken off the tax rolls. So we actually own them, so we'd be paying ourselves. And then the other ones were for trailer and then a duplicate card manifest error.
Okay. And this is common after assessments that we have to do this. Any comments or questions? Assembly member DeBoer?
Just one question. Maybe it's nothing worth bringing up, but kind of a fine print issue was the one at the bottom, 72-250-2025. It says the reason for writing this off for all years was trailers destroyed in 2022. But I mean, is that a valid reason for 2021, 2020, 2019, 2018 as well? Yeah, and understand for that.
Yeah.
So I'm
saying. That might have been mistyped because it was destroyed back in previous to any delinquent property taxes.
Okay. All right. So then it's. Okay.
Yeah.
That makes more sense then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I see what you're asking about.
Good question, though.
Yeah, that was a good catch. Any other comments? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly members, DeBoer?
Yes.
Robbins?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gower?
Yes. Attorney's file is available in the clerk's office for you to look at, and we will recess into executive session at.
We have to do a motion.
Oh, okay. I better take a motion.
I move pursuant to AS 44.62.310C1 that we recess into executive session to discuss matters in which some immediate knowledge would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, specifically regarding the possible purchase of portion 02-021-500 plat 2019-7 lot A. And I'd also like to invite our financial person, Mason, into this because we're talking about financials.
Second.
All right, so motion by Powell, second by Robbins. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members, I can't see anything about my glasses. Robbins?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
And Mayor Gower?
Yes. Now we will recess into executive session at 8:20.